The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus left that place and went into the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know that he had intended into the house, but he couldn't hide. In fact, a woman whose young daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard about him right away. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was Greek, Syrophoenician by birth. She begged Jesus to throw the demon out of her daughter. He responded, "The children have to be fed first. It isn't right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." But she answered, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." "Good answer," he said. "Go on home. The demon has already left your daughter." When she returned to her house, she found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. After leaving the region of Tyre, Jesus went through Sidon toward the Galilee Sea, through the region of the 10 cities. Some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly speak, and they begged him to place his hand on the man for healing. Jesus took him away from the crowd by himself and put his fingers in the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. Looking into heaven, Jesus sighed deeply and said, "Ephatha," which means "open up." At once, his ears were open, his twisted tongue was released, and he began to speak clearly. Jesus gave the people strict orders not to tell anyone, but the more he tried to silence them, the more eagerly they shared the news. People were overcome with wonder, saying, "He does everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and gives speech to those who can't speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So I've been gone for 3 months. I was gone and I did a lot of traveling. And over the summer, as I said last year, I think I went, conservatively speaking, about 20,000 miles in 3 months. And well, I was packed with all kinds of adventures and stories. And I'll be sharing those over the weeks ahead, maybe even the months. Depends how long I can milk this. Because I had a lot of truly wonderful experiences. There was something that happened here yesterday, right here in this room yesterday, that kind of slapped me upside the head on how all these experiences and adventures in so many different places have a common element. What happened yesterday in this room is we had a funeral, a celebration of life for the Reverend Harvey Buxton. He is an Episcopal priest. I've known Harvey for years and years. He never served here, but he did come to Celtic Kirk here fairly often. He was exactly 16 days younger than my mother when he died. Harvey died in mid-August while I was still away, and his family asked me if his memorial service could be here at Good Shepherd after I returned from sabbatical. And of course, I was happy to do so. The sermon that yesterday was given by Reverend Dr. Alan Robinson, who had known Harvey nearly all his life, since Alan was 8 years old and Harvey was serving his church in Galveston, Texas. Now, there were three priests who were serving at the altar as a service. I was not one of them. I was sort of the MC. And all three wore mics, just like Cindy and I are wearing right now. And the mics blended with the skin of two of the priests, but not with the skin of Pastor Alan. When it comes to standard issue mics, they're beige. That's the norm. And Pastor Alan didn't fit the norm. Now, the mic worked just fine for him, and maybe I'm the only one who noticed, but I noticed. It struck me that I, too, spent a great deal of time this summer not fitting the norm of whatever place I was in. For example, in Cuba, the norm is to speak Spanish. Now, I can muddle through in Spanish, but English is my norm. It's where I'm comfortable. But my inability, English is my first language, puts me in a minority in the world. Do you know which language has by far the most native speakers? Chinese, by far and away. 4 times as much, 3 times as much as anybody else. Spanish, second most. English is third. Any guess on fourth? Arabic. However, even in Cuba, communist Cuba, we all know Jesus. This is Christ of the Harbor, Christ of Havana. It's in the harbor. All the cruise ships go by it, but it's a landmark for everybody in Havana. And believe it or not, even in communist Cuba, the vast majority of Cubans are at least nominally Roman Catholic. Now, Scotland and England, of course, it was my accent that was unusual. They thought theirs was normal. The weather there, summer weather, June, 48 degrees on June 15th. What's that about? Now, I look like most everyone else there, but the country's ways, the habits, the modes of getting things done were so different from what I'm comfortable with, what I'm used to, what's normal for me, that I had to stay on my toes constantly. For example, I had to remember to first look right when crossing the street, because when you drive on the left, the traffic comes from the right. You can die if you forget that. Their norm was a hazard for me. Now, we did have something in common, and I'm not sure it's a good thing. We have a norm, these brand names, Starbucks, Burger King, and KFC. American fast food brands are all over the place, same as here. Now, in Greece, their traffic was back to normal. That's what I consider normal. But their alphabet sure isn't normal. Even the letters that kind of look the same as in English have a completely different sound associated with them. For example, here's an English word we all know, right? Eucharist. And how do we pronounce it? Eucharist. It means, in Greek, Thanksgiving. It means Thanksgiving. Now, in America, we use that word only in church. But in Greece, the word for thank you, not just in church, but everywhere, 24/7, is this word. But you don't say Eucharist. You say Ευχαριστώ. Ευχαριστώ. Now, do you see an F in there, in the Greek? But that's how they say it, Ευχαριστώ. And we probably heard Ευχαριστώ 1,000 times a day because Greeks are very polite people. Now, I have to say my 5 years of seminary Greek let me read a lot of things in that country, but I had no clue what people were saying, except for Kalimera, good morning. Kali means good, Mera means morning. Ευχαριστώ, Thanksgiving. And then please and you're welcome, which are the same word, parakalo. Parakalo, which loosely transmitted means it's all good. Okay? Kalo, good. Para, through, in, with, for. So parakalo. Let's try those words, okay? So kalimera, kali, mera, good morning. Good morning, thank you. Then thank you is efkaristo. Efkaristo. Okay? Efkaristo. And then please, and you're welcome, parakalo, parakalo. How am I doing, Betty? All right, good. Now, like I said, the Greeks are very polite, and we heard those words a lot. And I loved hearing and saying Eucharist 1,000 times a day. That's how to make a priest happy. But even so, my experience for a good part of the 3 months that I was away was that I did not fit the norm of the place I was in. And as cool and exciting and delightful as these places were, it's also kind of exhausting. You have to ask for help. You have to pay close attention. You have to think things through. You can't react and get upset when things aren't the way you expect them to be. And you have to try again and again to do some really simple things, like figure out which button on the elevator gets you to the lobby. It's not one. That's the second floor. Normal is so much more comfortable, isn't it? I mean, be honest. Normal's comfortable. And that's true even for Jesus. Today, we heard about a time when Jesus wants things to be comfortable. He's tired. He goes out of his own country and he hides in a house. Along comes a woman who's outside his norms. She's a Gentile. She's Greek. She's not Jewish. And she bothers him. when he's trying to get some much-needed rest. And Jesus is rude to her. He really is. When she asks for help, he just gives her a very kind of impolite no. But she pays attention. She thinks things through. She decides not to get reactive and upset about it. She decides not to get reactive and upset about it. And she tries again after he's refused the first time. Using polite logic to make her point, she says, loosely translated, "This isn't hard for you, mister. You're already healing everything. It's your job. It's what you do. You think people who aren't like you, like my daughter and me, well, we deserve to eat off the floor. Okay, but when we come to eat what you've let fall there, don't kick us away." She gently, very subtly, holds a mirror to Jesus. Is this your norm? That it's okay to tell a desperate mother of a sick child to get lost? And Jesus says, well, no. No, that's not how things are supposed to be. So the Prince of Peace banishes the demons of darkness from a human life, and that is his norm. And he's not going to forget what he learned. In fact, he makes an extra special effort with the next person, the deaf-mute man. This time when friends beg for help from Jesus, he gets really personally involved in the case. I mean, you know, his methods are not our norm for medical care, but hey, whatever works. And after he heals this man, people say of Jesus that he does everything well. The Greek word for well is the same as the Greek word for good, which really boils down to excellent. It means he does everything excellently. The excellent things Jesus did in this story were right out of the prophecies of Isaiah. Isaiah, some 800 years earlier, describes our God as the kind of God who heals the blind, the deaf, the lame, who makes the tongues of the speechless sing. God saves us and all creation by doing everything towards excellence, towards wellness, towards goodness. That is God's norm, and that's the norm by which Jesus lived and acted most of the time. Well, even that one he got right. The letter from James then shifts the focus from what God's norms are to ask the church, so, what are your norms? What are your norms? What do you think it means to, like Jesus, do everything well, to make things excellent? Because James has become aware that some religious people have it kind of backwards. They aren't working to make things excellent for the poor, the hungry, and the cold. They're fawning over the people for whom life is already excellent. And they make the poor, the hungry, the cold, if not eat on the floor, sit on it. You see, the world's definition of excellence, the worldly standards of excellence, are to serve our own comfort, our own opinions, our own status, our own privilege. These are the worldly standards of our society today. We see it every day. James holds a mirror to the church and says to those who say they believe, really? These worldly standards are your norm? That's okay to curry favor with the rich and heap even more indignities on the poor? Is that how it's supposed to be? No. No. It's not how it's supposed to be. That isn't the faith in God shown by Jesus. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves, not serve ourselves. As my travels showed me, our neighbors around the world include an astonishing variety of people and places. We need to look at the norms we routinely live by that we take for granted and shine the bright, searching light of Christ on them and see if they are of God. And this, I guarantee you, will make us very, very, very uncomfortable as our comfort and our opinions, our status, our sense of privilege are exposed as self-serving, deeply self-serving. When we are uncomfortable, we often, the first thing we do is get really defensive. And after we're defensive, then we get offensive. We have a clear example of this now in this Nike ad featuring Colin Kaepernick. And this whole controversy of players taking a knee. With lightning speed, everyone has predictably leapt into polarized corners and started hurling very ugly words at each other. Is this our norm? Is this the norm for Christians? It is okay to rush to opposing corners surrounded only by people who think like we do, vilifying the other corner with all the passionate energy we can muster? This is how the followers of the Prince of Peace are to live, acting like demons of darkness toward each other? What? Now, don't forget, this was an advertisement. Nike's laughing all the way to the bank on this one. And folks, this is about football. Football, sports, entertainment. This is entertainment. This isn't real life. This is a game. So let's get to the real issue that this is about. The one that came to the forefront for me yesterday at that funeral when Reverend Dr. Alan Robinson's microphone didn't match his skin, because that isn't the norm. Which makes him what? Abnormal? But he isn't. He's excellent. So maybe it's not him that needs to be different. Maybe it's the norm that needs to change. So instead of rushing into opposing corners and yelling, what if we changed our norms so that no one is higher or better than the other? What if we stopped our favoritism towards those like us and really listened to other people, different people, even if they talk in languages and accents that are really hard for us? I guarantee those who are different from us have had experiences we can't even imagine. And they can teach us about the world as they experience, as it is for them. And the opposite is also true, of course. We do have things to say. But we're the ones that are examining our norms in the light of Christ. And so first we need to listen. Listen to understand, not respond. Listen so well that when the other person's finished speaking, you can describe back to them what they said in a way that they agree with. Not that you agree with, but that they agree with. It means not that you agree with them, but that you really, really heard them. It's really hard work, but it's really good work. And then after we've all done that, and we've noted where our differences are, and you'd be surprised how much we have in common. But when we've noticed our differences, then we can work towards discerning together what faithful activity, what Christ-like activity is necessary for things to be excellent for all of us, using God's norm of excellence, not our cultures, not the worldly standards, but from the promises of God. If this whole notion of shining the light of Christ on our norms exhausts and upsets you, I understand. You're good company. I mean, Jesus felt the same way once. But he didn't stay there, did he? He listened. He understood. And he did something excellent. You, I, us, the church, we need to be excellent.